Tonight we are going to finish this book, and that would be the end of the Minor Prophets book. After this book, next time when I teach, it will be Philemon, a short letter in the New Testament, to the Philemon from the Apostle Paul. All right, tonight's study title, I made it as the final warning. We all know what our parents used to tell us when we goof up too much. And you would say, this is a final warning, knock it off. This is not a threat, it's a promise, right? We all use that word exactly to our kids, right? Some of us finally got it, some of us still don't get it. And like a Pastor Jack, don't get it. So he's continuing. He told me many times, growing up, we are at the last two chapters of the Old Testament. We are going to see what the Lord told Jews about their ungodly behavior and the future events happening like no other book in the Old Testament. This gives a real good final warning. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we finish this book, great book Malachi, let us be the one who heed your warning. But most of all, let us be the one who be guided by your eyes. Let your Holy Spirit speak to us and let us be so attentive to your word so that we know your heart. Instead of being drugged around by your power and corrected by your justice and the consequences of our life, we rather be guided by your eyes, Lord, your loving eyes. Let our heart, let our lives, and let our words be blessing to you and glory to you. As the word we memorize, let us do everything well in word or deed, in giving thanks to the Father through Jesus Christ. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 3, please. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Note those two words, before me, please. And the Lord whom you seek will certainly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, and said the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, like a launderer's soap. And he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of the silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and the silver, that they may offer to the Lord of Lord an offering of righteousness. Then the offering of the Judah and the Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit the wage earners and widows and orphans, against those who turn away an alien because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 6, I am the Lord, and I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? As you remember that in Malachi, there's a conversation between God and these people. And it's throughout the entire book, you see that in what way, they're constantly challenging God instead of accepting the fact that they need to be corrected. If you remember, at the end of Malachi, Israel complained that God seems like he's allowing the wicked to continue in their life and do well. In the meanwhile, those who follow God seems like they are not getting justice or blessed by him. In a way, we all have that tendency. We want the wicked to be punished now, right? Don't look at me like you don't think about that kind of thing. I do. I think about it every day whenever I watch news. A friend of mine is a TPD helicopter pilot. Sometimes he think about the dropping like a block of ice from the helicopter. How does that work? Because if it hit the ground, by the time the cops get there, it will be all melted away and nobody can find anything. I'm not going to tell his name. Since it's recorded, it's going to go on the internet. I told him, well, I prefer the different content for the 1600 somewhere. Did you get it? Yeah. It's the East Coast. It is a very good thing that the Lord does not dish out His justice every time human commit a sin. Can you imagine what would happen? There would not be one single human on earth. Don't think that we are exception. In God's eyes, our sins are just bad as other people. He is full of mercy, abounding in love. However, His holiness demands judgment. His justice, His patience knows its limit. An ancient royal procession, the messenger goes forth, and they are the ones who clear the way. If there is any obstacle, they will clear the way. If the mountain is too high, they will find a way to go around. And that was the exact job of John the Baptist, as we all know in Matthew and also in the book of John. That is starting from the Isaiah chapter 40. Let's go to Isaiah 40, please. Isaiah 40, verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make a straight in the desert highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. And crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough place smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The promise of God for His return is found in verse 1, as I ask you to note it, before me. It's a God Himself, Jesus Himself. It's not a new and improved another prophet. Jesus will come. Right after forerunner, John the Baptist, Jesus will come. We all know that. According to the law of Moses, the Lord provided three ways for people to be clean, people and things to be cleansed, made acceptable to God. One is water. Remember a lot of ritual we found in the Leviticus? Use the running water, not stale in one place water, running water, and use the fire. And use the blood, the sacrificing blood. Once the nation is cleansed and the priest was purified, they can become acceptable sacrifice. Remember Romans chapter 12, verse 1? We become a living sacrifice acceptable to God. However, during the Malachi time, they not only brought the unacceptable sacrifice, priests themselves was not acceptable because they were doing wrong things. We found that in chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, and chapter 2 as well. Can I change this? I can add it more. The coming of the second messenger will be awesome and terrible, and with a purpose. Note one thing, please. The purpose of the launderer and the refiner is not to destroy, rather to purify and cleanse and refine. I'm sure you guys heard the story of this refining process. When the goldsmiths get the raw gold, they put them in the pot and start to put the fire and start to melt the gold. And all this gunk start to, with all the heat, the gunk start to, goes, yes, draws, gunk draws, it flows to the top. And he started to scoop all the dross out of the way. And somebody asked, when do you stop? And the goldsmith will put his face right above the gold, the liquid gold. When he can see his reflection of the liquid gold, he stops. It's clear enough. When does the God stop this time of trials and that, you know, heat process in our lives? When he sees his reflection in our lives. The list of sinners in verse 5 give us the, we read the sorcerers and the adulterers, all those people, gives us some idea of a kind of practice that were going in Malachi time and happening now as end time. People who commit this kind of sin do not have a fear of the Lord. Let's go back to Malachi. Let's read those verses. Verse 5 of chapter 3. I will come near near you for judgment. Not sweet talk. Here I will be swift witness. How he is going to be a swift witness? Because he knows all things. Right? God knows all things. What happened in the inner room will be shouted from the rooftop. Against the sorcerers, those people who are dabbling with the demons, and adulterers. Do I need to explain this? Nowadays, it's full of it all over. And as a matter of fact, it's encouraged. Seems like it's encouraging one another. Against the perjurers, liars. Against those who exploit the wage earners and widows and orphans. Against those who turn away an alien. Mistreating people. Because they do not what? Fear me. Because they don't have a fear of God, they do this kind of thing. See, they don't have a fear of God, and somehow they thought they could, God would just close their eyes and to let their sin get away with. And not judging them and for breaking the law. Guess what? God doesn't do that. Chapter 50 of Psalm, please. Chapter 50, verse 21. These things you have done, I kept silent, God speaking. You thought I was altogether like you. But I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Up to now, Malachi has proved that God is just. But now he's going to talk about unjust sin of the people. Go down to verse 8, please. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way? Remember, this is people arguing with God for everything. In what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, and you have robbed me. Even this whole nation, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be the food in my house. And underline, highlight, circle, point, arrow, whatever you have to do, make this known to you. Try me now in this. Or some of your versions say, test me on this. Says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear the fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, and for you will be delightful land, and says the Lord of hosts. So how can a man rob God? Little puny human being can rob Almighty God, who knows all things, who can do all things, who never sleep, and according to Psalm, he never slumber. How can man rob God? Simple. People still do. The Jewish people did that, and 90% of Christians continue. They have done it, they will do it so. By not giving tithe. And you may ask, where did you get the number 90%? Remember, church business is done by the 10% of the congregation with their tithe and offerings. How? They are withholding their tithe and offerings. So what is the meaning of a tithe? Word tithe, of course, comes from the Hebrew word maharsa. And actually, between two A's, there's some sort of accent, and it gives a sound of H. So it's a maharsa. And means 10. And tithe is 10% of one's grain, fruit, animals, and money. More money. Some Christians even argue that there is a 10% of whatever is left over after paying all the bills, and or they said net income if they want to be generous. So they paid all the bills and they have $100 left. Guess what, God? You get the $10. See, if you have to argue with God about the tithing, don't give any money to God. Just keep it, okay? If you have to argue with God about the 10%, keep it. Because God does not want your money. He does not need your money. He doesn't want your grudging money. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, please. Okay. So let each one give as he proposed in his heart. Note those two words. Not grudgingly or necessity. For God loves cheerful givers. So then some would say, well, if it is a tithe out of net. If you really believe that it is tithe out of net income, then show me the one biblical reference from the Bible. Okay? Show me one reference is a tithe out of net. You don't find it. In the Old Testament time, where the tithe is starting, they brought whatever they get, 10%. They didn't say, well, after tax. What, in my opinion, why should Uncle Sam get your first dip? Let God get the first dip. You know, I had a chance to talk to one of the Christian brothers about this. I explained to him just like I did just now. And he looked at me. He's been giving regularly. Out of 10% of out of his net income. He looked at me and said, Pastor, I'm going to do what you said. As a matter of fact, I'm going to test God since he said, test me. He did. Within a week, he got a sizable check from somebody. I'm not saying that would happen to you every time. But he test God. Do you know, out of all entire Bible, there's one place. And throughout the entire Bible, he said, don't test God. But he said, test me one place. Do you know where? Right here. The reason is because we hold on to that little thing so tight, make a fingerprint on that thing. And saying, it's mine, nobody can have it. Well, that's the case. Let me tell you this. Many would hold everything to get so-called, because of the so-called rainy day. As I've said before, and even though they are hoarding for their rainy days, but the thing is, when the good deal shows up for something to do or something to have, guess what? They withdraw the money, their rainy day money, and go spend it. But they don't have money to give it to God. So how about this? Why don't you just say, I'm not going to, instead of I cannot. Haggai 1:6, please. Oh, by the way, those who struggle with the tithing because they would not do it, they constantly have a problem with the money issue. Haggai 1:6, please. It reads, you have so much, bring in little, you eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with the drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages and on wages to put into bag with the holes. And you're thinking, well, sounds like me. Well, yeah, just about nowadays. Listen, many people with a financial problem fall into and fail to do the most important thing first. Obey and honor God with their resources. Remember, when we seek the first kingdom of God and His righteousness, everything will be added unto us. That's His promise from the Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Can I? Oh, I can add it. Never mind, I forgot. I think that I've heard just about any conceivable excuse there is about the regard why they cannot tithe. If they are honest, it's not cannot, but it's will not. You follow me? They don't want to. It's not they cannot. And some people say, well, I cannot afford to tithe. I say, you cannot afford not to tithe. Here's why. Tithing is an act of worship. Overcoming our feeble mind that have a tendency to depend on our checking account over God's promise. We are going to take our own checking account, that little amount we have, over God's promise. If a person says that he or she is really into worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth, but he or she is not tithing, that person is lying. Do you think I'm making clear enough for you? Though the New Testament and nowhere specifically command the tithing, but it certainly does speak of it in positive light if it's done in the right heart. Only time Jesus condemned the tithing was the way the legalist, the Pharisee, did. And Jesus never told us not to tithe either. As a matter of fact, if you remember the widow with the two mites, that's all she had. She was putting in the tithe box. And he said she was doing the right thing. Yeah, she gave it all. It is the principle of giving rather than holding. You follow me? Acts chapter 20, please. 20:35. Remember the word of the Lord Jesus, and He said, it is more blessed to what?
Give
than receive. Let's wrap this up. To keep this portion of Scripture in context in Malachi, we can conclude that not tithing is an act of offense to God. Did you hear me, what I said? It's an act of offense to God, as Israel did. You know what it is? Bottom line is disobedience. God said tithe, trust me. And He said, I'd rather trust my gold, my checkbook, my CD, my IRA. If you notice, your IRA can go down rather quickly. Do I need to remind you last January or last November? How about one Black Monday? Verse 13 in Malachi. You would have been hushed against me, says the Lord. And yet you said, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. And what profit is that if we have kept His ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Jews saw the prosperity of the proud and those who do the wicked things. And somehow they felt that they are not getting what they need from God, and not like a justice or the blessing. And they complain against God. When a person does not have a fear of the Lord, nothing stops him from the speaking against God. Even if they started right, and they start to talk bad about God and speak against God because they don't have a fear of God, then nothing matters. Whatever, however they started, it will not last long. I'm sure you've seen some of your friends and the acquaintance who started well in the Lord, and they start to have a bad feeling toward God, and they talk bad about God, and pretty soon they walk away from God. It is a sad thing when the servant of God is a drudge and merely doing the job because that's what he or she has to do or for what they can get out of it. Move down to verse 16, please. Then those who fear the Lord spoke to one another, and note on the line the next phrase, please. The Lord listened and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. Book of remembrance. And the verse 17 says, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day I make them my jewels. You continue in the Lord, well, you will become his jewel. And I will spare them as man spared his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. I love verse 16 that it says, the Lord hears us and he writes down how we trust in him, how we love him and follow him from our heart. Let's face it, folks. The living in this carnal world is not easy, where every possible quick fix is literally available at our fingertips. The problem with this, those quick fixes have a long-lasting consequences, which absolutely ain't worth it for all the troubles we are going to go through if we choose to go after the quick fix. And some people don't think about future. I heard a storyline, I don't think that far. That's not something to brag about. Listen, while we seek the Lord with all of our heart, others would laugh at us. May I remind you, Noah and his family was building an ark in desert. During that time, there was no rain. So he parked this 4 football field-sized boat in front of your driveway, and he's day in, day out pounding the nails into this ark. It's not a love boat. Ark means just a box, okay? Like this. What's pretty about box? And people come by, and his neighbor come by and ask him, what are you doing, Noah? I'm building an ark. Why? Because we're going to have a rain. What's the rain? That's hard to explain. They laughed at him. How about Moses? Moses following God, everything. And guess who laughed at him? The multitude who followed him out of Egypt. And they tried to make a golden calf and stone him to death. And how about this? While the Joshua and Israelite, following the command of God, they were going around and round and round of the wall of Jericho for 7 times. Can you imagine? First day, probably these people inside of Jericho wall were defensive. Second day, third day, it goes into the 4th, 7th day. This time they're going around 7 times. Probably they're following the inside of wall. Hey, look at them. They're blowing the trumpet. What are they going to do? Until they shout. Wall collapsed in. While the Son of God was on the cross, the Pharisees and the Roman soldiers laughed at him. Guess who has the last laugh? God remembers his faithful children. And he called them jewels. We want to stay in that status. We want to be called as his jewels instead of unfaithful. I don't know what's ahead of us if the Lord chooses to tarry. Some, bless you by the way, some people are thinking that so hard that the Lord will come back this year. By the way, just for a side note, I could not pronounce that incident in where the Gaza Strip, they were trying to smuggle the stuff down there with all these people, you know, the Israeli Navy commander intercept that thing. Remember that incident? There was a TOR, something like that. I forgot how to pronounce that thing. Anyway, this is how they work. Hamas is not using normal channel. They are using public opinion of the world. First three trips, that this trip and the next few other trips, that boat will be filled with the humanitarian product.
Flotilla.
Yeah, flotilla. They're going to bring the baby toys, they're going to bring the food, all of that stuff. Why? Each time the Israeli Navy tried to stop them, they will find nothing more than humanitarian product. And the world opinion will go ballistic and use stopping these poor people, even though they are the one who is using the metal pipe and the knife to attack the commandos. It's Israeli territory, but it's like what's wrong with you going into somebody's home, sneaking behind somebody's home? Yeah, now they tell us. But that's not what the world report knows. Anyway, listen up. Once they start doing that and the world pressure the Israel so much, and Israeli will finally say, okay, you can bring the humanitarian product, guess what they're going to bring in real later? Guns and missiles. If the Lord chooses to tarry, persecution will increase against the Christians
and Jews.
Let's stay firm, okay? Let's stay firm. Verse 1 of chapter 6, please. Chapter 4. Yeah, if you find chapter 6 in Malachi, you have a serious problem. Yeah, verse 1. And for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. And they will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who feared my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with the healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like a stall fed calves. I don't know if that's such a good description, get fat like a calf. Not in America. You shall trample the wicked, and that they shall be ashes under the sole of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I command him in Horeb for all Israel. With the statutes and the judgment, behold, I will send you Elijah, prophet, before coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Once again, Malachi returned to the theme of the coming day of the Lord, when the God punished all the evildoers. Sinners will be burned up in the way the fire burn up the stubble, all the ashes. And the true believers will see the dawning of a new day and as the sun of righteousness. This is not the familiar term that we find in other portions of the Bible. It's only here. Son of the righteousness, that it was used to be used by the Justin Martyr, like all the Christians, and Christians have regarded Son of Righteousness as a reference of Jesus Christ. Malachi, remember the meaning of Malachi? Messenger, right? He's been a faithful messenger, and he closed the book by reminding people to other faithful servant of God. Moses and Elijah. The law of Moses was the still God's rule for the life of the Israeli people. And we still need to follow the principles. I'm not talking about sacrifice, because sacrifice has been done by Jesus Christ. But the good principle that we need to follow by the guiding, the Holy Spirit's guidance. So who is this Elijah whom the Lord will send? The Jewish religious leaders of Jesus' time asked John the Baptist, "Are you Elijah?" What was the answer of John the Baptist? He said, "No. He's not the Elijah. He's not reincarnated Elijah. But he came with the spirit and power of Elijah." In other words, he came as on the office of Elijah. In verse 5, the Lord promised us that he would send Elijah himself. When? When he's going to send Elijah? I believe that he would come during the time of a tribulation period, mentioned in Revelation chapter 11. Two witnesses, remember that? I was a firm believer, and I even argued with other people how little I knew, Enoch and Elijah. My argument was based on Hebrews 9:27, and we all die once. Guess who hasn't died yet? Enoch and Elijah, both taken up to the heaven, right? It makes sense, but however, not according to prophecies. According to prophecies, I firmly believe that it's Moses and Elijah. Because Elijah represents the holiness of God, and Moses represents the law of God. Their ministry as witness of the witness, and the Lord will pour out his wrath upon the earth. Remember, the two witnesses can pretty much destroy the whole army by the fire coming out from their mouth. And burst upon the world is fury. When the sun of the righteousness arises, that means either burning or blessing. Blessing to those who have trusted him, burning to those who have rejected him. So we will make two applications. Oh, by the way, can I change the slide? Terry? Application number one, whenever we rob God with our tithes and offerings, we always rob ourselves from spiritual blessings. Do you hear me? If you choose not to do the tithing, number one, you're disobeying God. Number two, you're robbing yourself from the spiritual blessing. If a few dollars worth it, go for it. Second thing, it is a very important thing to remember that God is full of mercy and abounding in love, but his holiness demands judgment, and his patience knows its limit. Yes, we finished Malachi, we finished all the minor prophet books. And next book is what? Philemon, please read ahead. That offering is between you and God. There is no guideline for the offerings. See, when you said during the Old Testament time, some people said, "I'm going to offer this to God." And they choose to backtrack, then that's a serious offense to God. So if you promise to God, you got to follow through. No, it's not. Offering is above and beyond tithe. Okay? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. What a great reminder for us to follow your way. And let us remember your holiness demands judgment. Your patience knows its limit. Even though you are full of mercy, you are full of kindness. Let our lives be example. And like that illustration mentioned, let our lives reflect the Creator, the image of our Creator. That you alone receive glory. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.